is Palm Sunday, and in Egypt, they were celebrating Palm Sunday. They were in their churches, and two churches were actually had explosions in them, and many Christians died. So I wanted to go ahead and have us pray for their families, pray for the tragedy. And then I guess Jesse was telling me there was another incident that was just about to take place, but a suicide bomber blew himself up and the police were killed in it. So, Father, we just come before your throne of grace right now, Lord, for this tragedy, our brothers and sisters, God, in Egypt, Lord. And we know that, God, you can take this tragedy, God, and create a triumph out of it, Lord. Out of what the enemy has meant for evil, Lord, you can turn to good. So we pray right now, Lord, for all of those who have lost loved ones, all of those who have been injured, and Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're working in that situation right now. Lord, that you're bringing healing, comfort, and we pray for restoration. And Lord, we just thank you, God, that we live in a free country, Lord. We live in a nation, Lord, that where we can gather freely and really not have to worry about those kind of things. So, God, we ask, Lord, that you would allow us to treasure and to appreciate the freedoms that we have, Lord, and honor the ability to come and worship before you, God, and to not take it for granted. I also want to pray for Rowdy Ballard, Lord, who had his 8 teeth removed and is really having a hard time. Father, we just ask you now to just touch him, Lord, with your hand of mercy and grace and healing. Comfort him, Lord. Lord, as Lisa's with him today, Lord, as she's away, Lord, I pray that you would just allow her to experience you in a deep way, Lord, that even though she's apart from us, God, that got here, Lisa. Amen. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Bless her, Lord, right there. Yeah, where she sits. Yeah. Gay's like, she's here. She's here. And Lord, we want to pray for Gay's mom, Lord, that you would just touch her, God, as she is just really struggling with the accidents and the things that are happening, God, because of her life. Lord, we pray that you would just give her your grace, that you would comfort her and all the family. And Lord, just allow your perfect will to be done in mom's life. We just ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
me because you are good, and I'll dance because you are good, and I'll shout because you are good. You are good to me. saved. You have your mercy for me every day. Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, open seas, your love never fails. The chasm is far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side, but your love never fails. And you stay the same. Let's go.
To come in and sing songs. It's easy to look at the words and follow along and just participate with our mental capacity, and some songs, of course, make us feel good inside and warm, but it's really about the heart. It's really about worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. And so I would encourage you all the time, if you feel that singing out loud hinders you from entering in your heart, then take some time and enter into worship in your heart. Or if you can sing, make sure that you are singing from your heart. And sometimes that means that when the lyrics say something, you may be filling with something else. But it's really about us as individuals worshiping Him. We get to gather together. We get to sing songs together. But it's really about our hearts. It's really about internally what's going on. So as we sing through, you know, bringing Him a song, I want you to just think of something in your own heart that you're going to send up to Him. Maybe it's just, I love you, God. I love you, Jesus. You can say it out loud or you can just say it internally. But make sure that you're worshiping Him out of you, not just out of the group, not just congregationally, but we're making sure that we're connecting with Him individually. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I am.
How's everyone doing this morning? Good. I have two chairs, you see? This gives you permission to enter in, right? Okay.
Would you put up I think it's the chorus where it says the chorus of the second to the last song.
Heart of Worship. I'll bring you more.
Okay,
to the
can
song.
You? Yes, right here. I just have to say something right here. You know me; I just have to talk. Sometimes we're really uncomfortable that God is so deep. Like, it makes us uncomfortable sometimes. But what I love about the words that this chorus is singing is that he's searching deeper within and through the way things appear. So, like, if we're standing on the edge, and we've been walking this battle or trial, whatever you want to call it, and we can't see the end in store because the forest is there, God can see the end. So he looks through the way things appear. I was thinking this morning as I was getting ready for church, I'm going to wear my capri pants. And I just remember, used to be, you ever walked in church looking like I do today, you'd be kicked out. But he looks not at the outward, but what's in my heart.
Yeah. Thank goodness.
Yeah. And we were talking the other day about my mom, because my mom has become a little bit combative now that she's, her mind is going really quickly. She can't remember my sister's husband's name, and she's been in love with the man for years, you know. She calls him Steve now, and his name is Rich. But she's become very combative. And I keep saying to myself, Lord, let you come out instead of that feeling, that angst, you know. But he can look through the way things appear. And she may not. She may die mean, but not meaning to be mean. You know what I'm saying? He's looking through the way things appear in me. Because I want, Lord, please let her just give her some softness. Give her some, you know, let love come out of her and all that stuff. But what if he doesn't? Like, my sister kicked me out of the nursing home the other night. Because, I mean, my mom was getting really bad. And she could tell. I don't mind doing the day-to-day stuff, like wiping her mouth when it's dirty. Or, you know, helping her to the bathroom or helping her get dressed. But when she gets mean and snarky, I don't like it. I can't handle it. And the Lord says, yeah, but what if there's a reason for that? Not for her, but for me. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? God looks so deep within us. He knows the right and the wrong, the good and the bad, the complacent. Or, Lord, I'm in there with you 100%. You know what I'm saying? And he looks through the way things look like on the outside to get to the part that's going to get to us. And you guys, that's love, because he wants the real us. He doesn't want to settle for the church Galen. He wants me, and he wants you. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
That's good.
That was just a commercial.
So, I don't have anything really prepared on the slides or anything like that. So that's a quarter. Put it right there. It'll come into play in a little bit. So it's an illustrated sermon. Every time I'm grabbing a quarter in my pocket,
Actually, I'm trying to keep a quarter in my pocket. It reminds me of something that took place this week. And it also reminds me of something that I was battling with. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. So, as you know, I'm a personal person. I'm a person that's personal. However, that goes together best grammatically. But I, you know, I pretty much, you know, communicate like where I'm at, you know, and have been, you know, pretty much a whole time that I've been able to share. It's usually based on something that the Lord's doing inside of me. Or, you know, obviously, when we're going through the first chapter of John, not everything that's going on in the first chapter of John is going on inside of me. But this particular message is very close to home.
Personal.
So on March 29th, I turned 57. Yeah, thank you.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. A little late. You're a little late. But and I didn't make a big deal of it. But I ended up because you guys celebrated my birthday like that Sunday. Yeah. Not near as bad as she celebrated my 50th. She celebrated my 50th like 20 days ahead of time. So guess what I got? It was a surprise party. Where I'm literally telling the people, what are you doing here?
He thought it was going to be a bridal shower, and I forgot the ice cream at home. Oops.
That was an adventure. Right, Jesse? Jesse was the culprit. He went and he bought, we were going to hang out that night. He bought 2 ribeye steaks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought we were going to go home to his house and barbecue steaks while Gay's doing this bridal shower deal. And it's like I was salivating over that steak, waiting to, you know.
Even to this day, he's salivating over that one steak.
I never got it. They were beautiful steaks, too. Anyway, I digress. So on my birthday, March 29th, I woke up. Oh, it's a good thing. But I woke up really early. And I thought it was just like, okay, just, you know, sometimes in the middle of the night, you got to go to the bathroom. And I thought maybe that's what it was. And so I got up, and as I was getting out of bed, I turned around and looked at my digital clock, and it said 4:44. And it's, you know, there's times you can look at the clock and, you know, it's 2:22:22, and you don't really think, man, this hit me like a ton of bricks. 4:44. And I thought, okay. Because, I mean, all of a sudden I'm realizing, okay, I'm wide awake at 4:44. So I got up, and I think I went and I took a shower first. And while I was in the shower, I'm thinking, like, 4:44, what could 4:44 could be? Well, there's not many chapter 44s in the Bible. So I knew that, you know, that's going to be pretty limited. And there's not even many chapter 4s with 44 verses. So after I got out of the shower, I looked at 1 John 4:44 because I knew there was a 4:44. And I looked at Isaiah, I think, 4:44 and 4:44 and 4:44. So I was, you know, I'm just going, okay, Lord, what are you doing here? I'm looking, trying to, you know, I feel you're drawing me somewhere, so I'm going to check out these verses. So I looked at the verses, and there were a couple of really good verses, you know, and I thought, well, it's interesting, and I kind of pondered those verses and thought about it a little bit, and thought, okay, well, maybe it's just a coincidence. You know, it's now like 5:30 or 5:45 or something. After I got to shower, I've been an hour hunting through every single, but fortunately with digital, you know, iPads, yeah. I could go to, okay, how many chapters are here? Okay, go to chapter 44. Oh, there's no 44 verses. So I was able to go through the whole Bible in about an hour and something. So there's about 15 verses, by the way, that are either 4:44 or 4:44, just so you know. And I don't know if there's any, I don't think there's, you know, like 444, so I wasn't worried about that. So I'm thinking, okay, so that's interesting. You know, I don't really find a verse, and so, Lord, you know, what's going on?
You found verses, and they were really good, but they weren't the ones that
and nothing
you didn't
was
get
like,
clicked.
Nothing like when I looked at the clock and, oh, something hit me. It's like, okay, well, I see. And so what ended up happening is I went to my iPad. Well, I was on my iPad, but I went to the desktop on my iPad, the home button. And when I got to there, I have this app that I call To Do, and it synchronizes like, you know, reminders and to-dos that I have daily. And I had not checked that app for 6 days. So it was 6 days overdue. And so I look at it, and guess how many overdues? 44. I mean, that's like never hardly happens. Like where I wait 6 days to get it. So I had 44 overdues. So, okay. So here's it. Here it is again. You know, so Gay gets up then, and I tell her about it. And I said, wouldn't it be interesting? I was turning 44 today. That would like take care of it. But what ended up happening is that I was taking Tim to school, and it was really cold that morning. I said, oh, it's cold. And Tim goes, yeah, it's not cold. It's nice out. And I said, no, it's cold. And I looked at my watch, and it was 44 degrees. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yes, yes, yes. Seriously, I know I'm going, what? And so I'm driving Tim to school. Now all of a sudden I'm looking at yard signs and posters and
street names.
So let's see if we can tie this, you know. So now I'm really, so that whole day I didn't see anything, you know, else. No other 44s. Pretty much to this time I haven't. Except what ended up happening is a week ago from this last Saturday, I was laying in bed and I experienced an experience in my heart with the Lord. And it had been a while since I had that kind of significant experience. I was just laying there getting ready to go to sleep. And I'm not going to tell it to you now because I want you to get the idea of what really was taking place inside of me. And so I ended up, listening to this music, going to sleep. And the next day, which would have been last week, we had worship. And even during worship time, I mean, it was just like I'm just in the presence of the Lord and just enjoying him. And it was just going awesome. So this is like April 2nd. So I'm going like, well, maybe it was a date, you know. So I'm thinking, so maybe it was, well, that's 4-2. That was 4-1. That wasn't it. So, I didn't think anything of it. The next morning was Monday. And now this really gets good, guys. This tells you how trippy God is. I mean, he's amazing. Monday morning, about 10 o'clock, I check our mailbox, the church mailbox, and there's a check in it from someone that, you know, shouldn't just be sending us a check. And I'm going, okay, well, what's a check doing in here? And why'd they send one, you know? So I opened it up, and it was $1,000. Yeah, that was awesome. And I'm just saying, whoa, this is amazing. Thank you, Lord, you know. And I ended up, you know, taking, the check and calling them and thanking them, but I just got their answering machine. Well, I'm thinking, that was 4-3. I mean, this is like building up now. 4-1 was pretty exciting. 4-2 was great. 4-3, maybe it's April 4th, something's supposed to happen. So on 4-4, yeah, because it was the 444, I thought, well, it's the 444, maybe it was just the 44, because that's what I got.
Well, and this is how fleshy people can be, because he says, honey, is there anything significant about April 4th? I said, well, it's your son-in-law's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
4-4. And he's like, no, that's not it. But I'm answering like, yeah, you know, I'm not thinking anything spiritual. Why would you on a Tuesday? Just kidding. Go ahead.
Okay. So
that struck me funny.
It was funny. I didn't laugh because I'm still trying to just keep my train
Sorry,
of thought
go ahead.
If I get off. Like, so what ended up happening is that on Tuesday morning, which is 4-4, I ended up having how many have heard Google Hangouts, Skype? There's a group of people that I normally get together with, and we fellowship and share and pray for each other and just encourage each other. Most of us are spiritual leaders. And so that day, it was the only person that could get on was the person that sent the check. And so, you know, that was pretty significant. And so I ended up just kind of starting to share with them a little bit about what had happened. And I told him, but I have to tell you, I'm in reservation about sharing these last 3 days because it seems like every time I share a testimony, it gets stolen from me. It's to the place where I don't experience that anymore. And so I started thinking, well, it's me sharing. So when I share what God's doing, for some reason, it's like, you know, I'm doing something in disobedience. which is totally doesn't make sense to the natural mind, but that's how weird I had gotten. So the person says, well, that sounds like, you know, you're fighting a principality in power. And I said, huh? You know, and they said, yeah, that sounds like you're dealing with a principality in power. And so, you know, I started searching my heart. And it ended up that they said, well, let's just do this. Let's start repenting of some things. And so I think the first one they suggested repenting from, you know, which affects pastors, is resentment or something like that. You know, I don't know why we can get so resentful, but, you know, pastors have like resentful hats we put on, I guess. But just like anybody else, but pastors seem to really get those hats a lot. Lisa's like, yep, I know what you're talking about. But what? Servants get resentful. Okay, well, but you're not to grow weary in well-doing, but it's, you know, it's still easier said than done, right, Lisa? But what ended up happening is I said, okay, Lord, I repent and I renounce, you know, being resentful. And so I did that, and it was nothing, you know, and so, you know, I was renouncing, rejecting, resent. And I didn't really sense that, you know, but they were trying to get, kind of initiate something. And so then immediately I said, and Lord, I renounce and reject doubt and unbelief. And boy, did I hit the nail on the head. And when I said that, it's like, yeah, it was boom. I mean, it was boom, boom. And all of a sudden the principality and power in my heart was like right in front of me, you know? And so I'm confessing, you know, the attitudes of my heart and, you know, and just repenting, you know? And immediately after I did this, I felt this, well, like this warm heat coming over me, and that principality and power was like just swept up, gone. And I mean, I felt like, whoa. This feels different. I can tell something's different. I can tell. And so, you know, I ended up telling the individual the story that I just told you. That on Wednesday, I woke up at 4:44 and went through the whole dialogue. And because, you know, I said, I don't want to tell you. And then we dealt with the entity, doubt and unbelief. And so, and I'm not getting into all the details, but you're getting the idea, is that there was something that was blocking me from becoming all that God wanted me to be. And so what ended up happening is that I told them on Wednesday, I woke up before Wednesday, they said, oh my goodness, really? And they said, well, listen, this is what happened. On Thursday, we got together and we wanted to send, as it said, love offering. They were planting into us. They said, we're connecting our hearts with your hearts. That's what it was for. It wasn't just like, you know, just out of, they were really being purposeful. And so they sent it on Friday. Now, they meet in home meetings, but every now and then they gather together on a Sunday, and they had their Sunday meeting on a Sunday. And one of their individuals said, oh, they received that check on Wednesday. And she says, no. We sent it Friday. He'll probably be receiving it this week. No. He received it on Wednesday. So I want to tell you that their love offering, as much as the monetary is a blessing, their love offering released something in the spirit, and on Wednesday, God initiated it. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Yeah. So even though they sent something on Friday, it activated on Wednesday. See, God's not limited time, space, anything. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm going to get to the quarter. I was telling you about Praying Medic. Well, I like listening to Praying Medic, and as I was telling Vicky, he's gotten kind of political. So if you're not into politics, you may want to watch, you know, some of his older listen to some of his older podcasts. But he used to be a medic, an EMT, and he got saved years ago. He was a heathen, and the Lord gave him a dream and a vision that he was going to start, you know, praying for the sick in his ambulance, and that they would get healed. And so he just made it a practice after he, you know, believed the Lord and started praying for people, you know, and for almost 1,000 people, didn't see anybody healed. After about 1,000 people, people started getting, he just kept going for it because he had that dream. He had that initiative that God gave him, I want you to do this. So he just was obedient to it. So he had people healed from, you know, the accidents that they were in. You know, they would be healed in, they would get to the hospital, they're fine, you know. And so, I mean, he wrote books on praying made easy and hearing the Lord made easy. I mean, he's very practical. So one day I was listening to a testimony, and this was about 3 months ago. And he was talking about different things, and he talked about how when he was at the ambulance company, EMT place, probably ALS or something like that, and he ended up giving testimony about the Lord by what he did. He would pray for people. He didn't preach at them. He just loved on people and he prayed for them. But he would also do like crazy, you know, out of the box miracle type things. And so what he would do is he would get this. Now, and I mean, some of you probably, no, I don't believe it. But he would stick dimes and quarters and pennies on the wall without anything. And people would go like, what are you doing that for? It's just, you know, just demonstrating the power of God. That's all I'm doing. And they would be sticking on the wall, you know. And so he ended up, you know, having one of the individuals that was kind of listening to him and seeing what he was doing and kind of getting his heart tweaked by God. One day when Praying Medic left, he came back and there was money stuck to the wall. And he didn't do it. And so he asked that individual, he says, listen, was that you? He says, yeah, you know, I said to God, I, you know, put them up on the wall. I said, Lord, if you can do it for Praying Medic, you can do it for me. And after that, he became a believer, you know. So, but when I heard that, all of a sudden this thing went through me like, oh, I couldn't do that. You know, doubt and unbelief. Like, oh, I mean, what if it doesn't stick? And it was like, if it didn't stick, it was like, something's wrong, and you know, I'm out of God's will, and all these things. And so these thoughts kept. So I mean, I'm not kidding. I would see a quarter at the house, and I would like walk around it. I'm not kidding. It was starting to plague me, you know. And I'd get them in my pocket, and I mean, I'd get them out of my pocket as soon as I could. But I knew that that was going to be like a sign that I was having breakthrough. So why am I saying this? I'm saying this because at the end of that conversation, the call, I hung up and I went up and got a quarter and I was attempting multiple times to stick it to the wall. I was trying to, I want to stick it to the ceiling. Now, why am I doing that? Because I can. I'm a child of God. And I mean, we're to be like little children. Folks, we're to really be like little children. I mean, not like the kind of little children throw temper tantrums and, you know, but little children in the way that we look towards God. And when the doubt and unbelief left, no, the quarter didn't stick. And, you know, I've tried it many other times. It's cool is when I stick it to the ceiling, I can let go. And sometimes it doesn't feel like it's there. So it's stuck. No, it's still my thumb, you know. But why am I saying this? I'm saying this because God set me free just as much as he wants to set all of us free. He doesn't want us bound with doubt and unbelief. And so I want to share a scripture. I'll get a little Bible in here so that.
A lot of Bible?
Yeah. Well, from 13 to 25. Unless you want to. Do you want to start from one? Okay. We're going to start at Romans 4:13. And this is talking about Abraham. And Abraham is known as the father of faith. He's the father of Isaac, who becomes the father of Jacob and Esau. And Esau becomes, I mean, Esau, Israel. Sorry, Jacob becomes Israel. And Israel ends up becoming the Jewish nation. So he's the father of the Jewish nation. But he's also our father. Because he is not just the father of those who are of the Jewish nation. He's of those who are of faith in Christ. So it says here, the promise realized through faith. So, well, let me tell you. Sarah and Abraham were quite old. And they were promised a child from God. I mean, Abraham was promised a child years before. And they were getting past the age. Sarah's womb was dead, mm-hmm. according to the scriptures. And Abraham was even past the age if you look at the way it's communicated in the Bible. So this is in Romans 4 kind of communicating some of what really is taking place in the spiritual when this was happening. For the promise that he would be an heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all seed, the seed, not only to those who are of the law, and the ones who are of the law are Israel, but also to those who are of faith of Abraham, you and I, who is the father of us all. Abraham is the father of us all, those who are of the law and circumcision, and those who are of uncircumcision and grace and faith. As it is written, I had made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. So Abraham, who contrary to hope, because it looked hopeless, he instead believed. He didn't look at the situation in the physical. He looked at the promises of God and the integrity of God. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he was dead in the reproductive process, and Sarah's womb was dead because Sarah never had a child. So this is like bad situation, bad report, two bad reports. But he didn't consider those when God said, no, in about a year, Sarah will have a child. It says that he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So he said, I'm not going to look at the circumstances and the situations in my own body or in Sarah's body. I'm going to look at the promise, and I'm going to believe the promise. I'm going to believe the truth. And I'm going to believe what God said, not what the circumstances say. And then it says, and being fully convinced, oh, and then, therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, Jesus Christ, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Going back to verses 20, 21. This is what took place in me. I got to the place where, again, I did not look, and I was not just looking at the circumstances. Whatever those circumstances are. You know, whether it be, you know, attendance on Sunday, or whether it be the financial condition, or whether it, whatever in the natural says this is impossible. But I was strengthened in faith because doubt and unbelief were gone. Mm-hmm. See, doubt and unbelief are like killers, because you can have as much Bible knowledge. You know, I mean, I know the truth. It says you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. But if you know the truth, but you're not able to trust in the truth, and you're not able to be fully persuaded, it says, and being fully convinced, fully convinced, not partially convinced, not convinced enough so that I can talk a talk,
right,
but convinced enough that I can walk a walk. Convinced enough that I can grab a quarter and know whether it sticks or doesn't stick, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Because he's still God and I'm still his child. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if he so chooses, to let, you know, gravity not take effect, because that's what's going to happen. You know, it's defying gravity. And I have talked to others, and others, you know, crazy people have done this before too. So, I mean, it's not like praying medic wasn't the only wild one. He had heard it from a testimony. But again, you know, a testimony for an unbeliever to see and go, wow, that's pretty powerful, you know. Now in third world countries, sticking a quarter to a wall, probably nothing, you know, compared to what they do, because they've got witch doctors and witches that are, you know, changing into other animals and stuff. But here, a quarter sticking to the wall, whoa, it can be pretty powerful that God can use as a testimony. But what I'm trying to communicate here is that I came to the Lord and was willing to say, you know what? Man, if God wants to do something here today on 4-4, you know, and I don't even know if I was thinking about the 4-4 at that time. The next day I was thinking, well, you know, we're going to have that meeting, so maybe something's going to happen on April 4th. But when it came to the point, do I want to be free? Am I willing to lay down my ego? You know, am I willing to say, you know, because, I mean, nobody wants to admit, oh, yeah, I'm dealing with doubt and unbelief. You know, but it was there. And I mean, you know, sure, I could go back and I can try to say, well, when did that happen? But I mean, I don't want to do that. I don't want to set my hand to the plow, start moving forward, and then looking back saying, and trying to remember what it was, because I just want to walk in my freedom. And I just want to continue to be fully convinced that what he has promised, and that is at the very least life and life abundantly, abundance. Or at the most, you know, to have his fullness working and operating in my life. Then I want to be able to be one of faith that says, amen, I can agree with that no matter what the circumstances look like, no matter what it says in the physical, no matter what the reports are saying, and say, you know what, Lord, I trust you. And I'm going to set my mind on things above. I'm going to use... That power where it says, whatsoever you desire, all things, when you pray, believe that you've received it and you shall have it, so that I don't have that doubt and I don't have that unbelief that keeps that from operating in my life. I want to be able to say, nope, I can lay hold of that, whatever God puts on my heart. Do you have something?
Well, I'm just remembering when Stephen, our son Stephen, was born. And he was born really sick. Did we know each other when Stephen was born or after? After?
After, yeah, definitely after.
Oh, yeah, definitely after, that's right. So Stephen was born, this is our 28, almost 28-year-old, was born, and the diagnosis was that he had cerebral palsy and that he had never walked, never talked, never eat, never drink. That he was going to be a vegetable and he'd have to be fed. And I remember the first day in the hospital saying, Lord, you know, what's this about? You know, because, hey, you know, I serve you and I'm a good girl. Why would you let this happen? And as I walked through that first week, I remember it was Wednesday that he went in on Valentine's Day, and it was the next Monday after they had done all the tests and they found that he had brain damage, and that the brain damage came from when I fainted when I was pregnant with him, and it stopped the blood flow to his brain and it affected the motor skill area. So I'm like, okay, Lord, now I need to believe that you're going to heal my kid. I need to believe that. And people came and said, you know, so much, and I'm just going to call it what it is. Garbage. Like, do you think that God made your son sick? Or, you know, just things I didn't even need to be thinking about. They were going like this, and I wanted them to go like this. Because I didn't need them speaking to the little bit of faith I had. And so I remember that next Monday standing beside the crib in the CCU unit with him. And this is what I said, Lord, this baby is your baby before he's mine. He's your baby. And you can heal him if you want. well, I want you to heal him, but I'm willing to take whatever you decide. But Lord, what a testimony would it be to see this boy healed? And when you keep saying, you know, and I, even before, when, before we started looking at the outside of things, like I could have looked at him having seizures. I could have looked at him not being able to swallow. I could have looked at him not doing anything normal for the age. You know how they say, well, at 2 months, they start to try and turn over. And at 3 months, they start to try and do this. Well, he wasn't doing any of that. But I asked the Lord, help me to get my eyes off what I see and put my eyes of faith on what I know about you. And honestly, guys, like to this day, if Stephen were to walk in here carrying his 2-year-old and his 4-year-old, you would not even believe that that was the start of his life. He is as normal and healthy and loves the Lord so much. But the enemy tried to steal that, just like the enemy tried to steal Abraham's, oh, you're not going to be the father of many nations, ha, 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 your body's, you know, dead. But we have to, at some point, we have to understand the power that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of us.
Amen.
And we can speak those things out, and healing can happen. If a person that was unbelieving were to walk in here and say, and have a gun and put it to my husband and say, I'm going to shoot you unless you can get that quarter to stick to that wall. If my husband said, Lord, your will, here you go, it'll stick. But what if it doesn't? It doesn't mean God is not God.
Exactly.
It doesn't. It doesn't mean that at all.
And we can still fully trust him.
Exactly. Does that make sense? I mean, he could. When we got together, Aaron became mine and his. But Aaron did have cerebral palsy. Aaron was in a wheelchair. Aaron couldn't eat by himself, couldn't drink by himself. That was his baby from his first marriage. And God, that could have been Stephen too. God in his goodness, for some reason, it didn't happen. But that didn't make him any less God. At what point in our lives do we have to recognize that God is not a God of, if you do this, I will believe God. God's not a performing monkey on a corner street. God is God. And he is more than we will ever imagine. And he is more in us than we could ever imagine. It doesn't change the fact that it may not go the way we pray, but God is still God.
Sorry. Amen. No, sorry. No, that's good. So, does anyone have anything they want to share? Anything on their heart? Yes, go ahead.
I don't have any preaching this morning. I'm here to tell everybody that I have to repent because I have been eaten up with fear and unbelief to the point where I've almost driven myself crazy. So I'm not standing up here. I don't have anything, any sunshine to blow today, nothing like that. I'm here because I need to repent. And there are days when the Lord will light me on fire. Well, I haven't been living in any fire. There hasn't been any fire. There hasn't been any smoke, you know. And so I have to repent because there's a season coming at me in the next couple of weeks that's huge. And I got a little glimpse of it, and I'm terrified this morning. And I don't know what it's going to look like. I have a feeling. But I'm here this morning because I need to confess. You know, I can stand up here and sing, and I've preached. But if we can't be real in front of you and let you know that we're people too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We can stand up here and preach the gospel and blah, 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 blah. But I'm here to tell you that there are times, you know, a lot of messages comes out of times when you are flat on your face, when you don't know when the next good thing is coming or if a good thing is coming. Sometimes there has to come a time where our messages come from the battle. Our messages come from learning to trust God. It's not any different from any of you sitting here. But I have to repent this morning because I'm every bit of what he said, and I wasn't expecting that this morning. But I have not, I've got a season coming at me here in about 2-3 weeks that I don't know what's going to happen. And I need help this morning.
Stay here. Ladies, let's gather around. Honey, you need to come pray for me.
Mm-hmm. So, Lisa, just as my friend, my dear friend, had me do, I'm just going to have you renounce and reject fear, doubt, and unbelief. Because it's a principality and power that's trying to be built up so that you can't rest in the Lord.
Yeah. Jesus, I just ask you to forgive me. I renounce and reject, God, all of the fear, ulcers, up all night worrying, not being able to sleep. Doubting your promise. Continually doubting and hating myself, God. I renounce and reject that. In Jesus' name.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. 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 Father, just right now, Lord, we just allow, Lord, your grace to just overshadow Lisa right now, Lord.
Yes.
Allow your strength, God, to come in the place of her state of weakness right now. Lord, I pray that faith would arise in your daughter. Lord, give her, Lord, creative ideas, Lord, to encourage herself in you, Lord. To stir up her inner man, God, to stir up her spiritual man, and let the God in her rise up, Lord, that can walk beyond, Lord, this what seems to be an insurmountable circumstance right now. Lord, release your grace over Lisa. Release your comfort, Holy Spirit. Just wrap her in your arms of love right now, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we are sisters of Lisa. Come and we lift her. We lift her to you, Father, Lord. And we pray for your comfort and your peace in her heart and her mind and her body, Lord. Lord, buffet her from the storm of the season that's coming, Heavenly Father, Lord. Help her to stand where everything wants to just push her down. Lord, give her the strength and the perseverance, Lord, that only comes from you. So she
yes.
You're the one holding her up and helping her to stand. Lord, help her to just stand, Lord. And that to be able to bend where she needs to bend, Lord, and know that she's not going to break, Lord, because
yes,
you are there holding her together.
Amen.
Every single fiber, every single piece of her.
Jesus.
Lord, bring peace to her heart, Lord, even though the storm rages around her. And Lord, let us, her sisters, Lord, stand with her and in continual prayer for her as we continue to lift her to you, Heavenly Father, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Yes, Jesus.
Peace, peace, God's peace flowing down from the Father above. Sweep over Lisa's spirit, forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, we always have things that we have to face, and some larger than others. But know that there is a place, and sometimes I had to face some things that I let build up in my life. Doubt and unbelief for me. Could be other things for any of us. But let's be honest. Let's allow the Lord to search us. As David said, search me, O Lord. See if there's any crooked, perverse way in me. And I would add, when you find it, help me to, in you, walk out of that. And walk into your light. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, his love never fails. That song we sing, his love will never fail. Everything else in life can fail, you know. I mean, our health can fail. It can happen. You know, our you know, employment, our jobs, and you know, anything that seems like it is caught in this life's system can fail. But his word will never fail and his love will never fail. And with that, I'm going to leave just that final thought. God bless you all. Love you. You have a great day.